increase in evening service today. Good to see each of you here. Let's do 415. We'll do that first. 415. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And like we've been doing here recently, we'll stand on this first song. 415. Just to update everybody on the preaching schedule, as best we know it at this time, Pastor will be here on Wednesday. I mistakenly said last Wednesday night that he was leaving tomorrow. That's incorrect. He will be here. Are you leaving Thursday morning? Thursday morning, he'll be leaving. So, need to pray for him during his time here that he can make some good progress on the housing and the job front, and we'll see how that goes. So he will be here, Lord willing, on Wednesday night, and we'll see what the Lord does. I'm hoping Jason will be back able to be with us. He hasn't been with us for a while because of work, but we'll just see. But we do have a backup plan in place, and if Donna needs to play, we have that set up, so that'll be good. This coming Sunday, the 10th, Brother Matt Renzi will be back with us again. So we're looking forward to seeing him. We will just have Sunday school morning service with him here. And then, as far as we know, unless the schedule changes, Brother Dick Prue will be here on Wednesday the 13th. So that's the schedule for our speakers as best we have it at this time. So continue to pray that the Lord will provide for all the details with the pastor and his family coming. All right. As far as I know, that's all the announcements I have at the moment. Why don't we take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 7, has been our memory verse now for the last couple of weeks. Psalm 25, verse 7. Say it one time together. All right. It's good to hear the pages turn. Give you just a moment to find the passage. All right. Good. All right. Let's say it together. Psalm 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good. All right. I reminded everybody last Sunday about this, but our next memory passage, in case any of you want to get a head start on it, is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. So we'll be going to that. We will probably take one more Sunday, the 10th. In that week with Psalm 25, but after that, we'll move on to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So, in case any of you want to take a look at that passage and start learning it, you certainly can. All right. Well, we're going to do a slight change from what we normally do, and it's because of the psalm choice. Number 619. Stand up for Jesus. I think we need to do what it says. 619. So we will stand for this song and then for our final song we will be seated. 619.
Thank you.
seated for our final song. I think this one is a favorite of many of ours. 676, Face to Face with Christ our Savior. 676, and follow the song, Pastor. 676.
Kind of funny is that I don't believe the weather report up here anymore, especially concerning the last few years in this state. I had numerous people tell me the last few years have been a mild winter, but it seems like every time I step foot off the plane up here the last couple weeks, there's been snow. So I guess somebody likes snow. Yeah, you like snow. So I apologize about the seat this morning. I woke up and I was getting dressed, ready to come over here and open up the windows. I wasn't expecting to see all that, see the snow coming down. So, but the Lord, I'll tell you this, brethren, the Lord knows best. Because it happened about like an hour or an hour and a half later, I look out there and it's all melted. I'm thinking, we could have had church. But then I got thinking, well, the Lord knows best, and you can't change what's been done. And the Lord has a reasons for what he did and why we canceled this morning. But it's a blessing that we can be here again this evening. We can be here tonight. It's a blessing everybody here made it here safe. And God's good to us. God's good. Starting a new year. Starting out faithful to God, stay faithful to him through this year. Who knows what this year has in store compared to last year, but God requires of his servants to stay faithful, and y'all are being faithful being here tonight, and I thank you for it. If you take your Bible, we're going to pick back up again with our study in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Also explain to give you a little update on us. My original trip up here was supposed to be from this Sunday to next Sunday. My wife was supposed to be here, but early to latter part of this last week, it looked like we had a place to rent. But I come to find out Friday evening, it was either Friday evening or somewhere there, the rental place before we signed the agreement said that I had to have three times the amount of income to rent. Well, I couldn't afford that. It was like $6,000 a month. So I didn't even come close to that. So then I looked into their 15th month lease, and it was the same thing. It was just too much money. So that's why I had originally shortened this trip, because I planned to get the keys from that townhome tomorrow. But that didn't work out. But the Lord, again, knows best in what's going on. And one thing I realized and learned through the years is I don't want to force nothing that God's not in and get myself into a mess in a situation that I look back on and regret. So there's two more houses I'm looking at tomorrow. They both look very promising, so I appreciate your prayers in that. If they look good and everything works out, I plan on putting a bid in on one of them tomorrow, Lord willing, if it works out that way. So I appreciate your prayers with that. And for my wife and family also, that we just get up here as soon as possible. We want to be up here and be with you all on a full-time basis. So I appreciate your prayers. But if you take your Bibles and please stand this evening for the honoring of God's word, we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And this evening, we're going to look at verse number 3. We've already kind of gone over verses 1 and 2, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible says this: Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Verse number 3 this evening: remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, just for the privilege and the honor it is to be here this evening, Lord, to open up your word. Lord, I pray you lead, God, and direct my thoughts, Lord, and my words that I speak, Father. Lord, that would all be done in accordance to your will and your way. Lord, thank you for these faithful brethren. Lord, I pray you bless them this evening, dear God, and just traveling out in this weather. I pray that you would get us home safe this evening. But for now, Lord, I pray you'd meet with us and give us what we need that would help us to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. Lord, we love you. We just thank you for all your benefits towards us, dear God. Help us to glorify you now this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. So the last Sunday that I was up here with y'all, we kind of went over verses 1 and 2. And talking about how Paul said in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for y'all, making mention of you in our prayers. Talking about how we need to pray for one another. But Paul says there in verse 2, we give thanks to God. He says the word always, making mention of you in our prayers. So Paul, in his mindset, to those brethren there that were in Thessalonica, he always was praying for them, and he ceased not to keep them in his mind in his prayers. But then he goes on to say in verse number 3, remembering again without ceasing your work of faith. And so I want to look at this, two of these things this evening. I don't know if we'll get through all three of them. But he says the work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. And he says to them, he says, remembering without ceasing. So that shows me it's something important. Because Paul doesn't cease to stop. He doesn't stop remembering what they're doing. No, he continually remembers these three things about those in Thessalonica: their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Work. I'm sure we all know what the definition of work is. It means to operate. It means to produce effect by actions or influence. So when you work, you're doing it to an end. If we go out this morning and there's snow out there in front of our house and there's a sidewalk, we're going to go out there and work to the end that the snow will be removed from the sidewalk that we want to walk on. There's an effect that's going to be enforced by our actions, and it's going to change. Faith means this. It means belief. It means the assent of the mind to the truth of what is declared by another, resting on his authority and veracity without other evidence. Faith is basically believing what God says, though you can't see it or know it, and sometimes don't even understand it, yet God says it, and you believe it, and you're going to do it. Sometimes with faith, you can't understand it. You don't know why it's happening, but God says, this is what I want you to do. But why, God? God doesn't often give us the why he says to do, to have faith. He says, the work of faith. Now, faith is work. And I said this, our faith ought to grow stronger as we mature as believers. Our faith, when we first got saved, was probably little. But as we go on in our Christian walk as believers, our faith ought to grow stronger and greater as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. If your faith is the same as it was when you got saved, then something's wrong. Something's not right in your Christian walk. Your faith ought to grow as you grow in the knowledge and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, look over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Work of faith. Having a life of faith is work. You have to work at it. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verse number 3. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse number 3. Paul says this to this church, again, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. You see, their faith has grown, he says here, exceedingly. And 1 Thessalonians says, the work of their faith. Now in 2 Thessalonians, he says, listen, I've noticed that your faith has now grown exceedingly. And how has it grown exceedingly? By the things that they're having to deal with in verse number 3. Look, so that we ourselves glory in what? In you and the churches of God for what? Your patience and faith in all what? Persecutions and tribulations. You see, if you're going to strive to live for God in this new year, and you're going to strive to step out in faith and follow him in how he would have you live your life as a believer, there's going to be persecutions and there's going to be tribulations. There's going to be trials, there's going to be temptations. How are you going to handle it? Are you going to handle it differently than you did maybe 2 years ago? Because your faith has grown. Is your faith working? My prayer for this church this year is that our faith grows exceedingly in what God has promised that he will do for us in times of tribulation, in times of persecution, in times of trials and temptations, or whatever we may have to face in our life. Your walk with God is different than my walk with God. And there's things going on in your life that may not be going on in my life, but God wants our faith to be worked out and to grow exceedingly in this coming year. You say, Pastor, well, how do we grow in faith? We grow in faith by staying faithful. Take your Bible and look over at 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16 and look at verse number 11, dealing with David. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 11. Now, most of you are pretty familiar with this portion of Scripture, I would think, with Daniel or David. You know some of the background of David. But the Bible doesn't start with the story of David with him going to fight Goliath. Right? God didn't take David. He was the youngest of all his brothers. And God didn't take the youngest son there of Jesse and just throw him right out there into the battle to fight Goliath. No, I don't think that would have been good. David starts off, look, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. Look where he starts. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. You see where God has David starting? Taking care of a few sheep out in the wilderness. Being faithful in that little thing, in that little project, in that little work that God's got David to do as a young man there. God says, be faithful in this, and David is faithful in it. Look over in verse number 18. I'm sorry. Verse 17, verse number 28. 1 Samuel 17, 28. Look what his older brother says to him. 1 Samuel 17, verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David and said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Eliab looks at David and says, who have you left these few sheep with? Well, those few sheep got David to the point to where he's able to fight Goliath. Because he was faithful enough there with those few sheep that God gave him, his faith increased in God. Well, you say, how does the faith increase that God would take care of him? How could David's faith in God grow by just watching a few sheep? Take your Bible and look at verse number 34 in chapter 17. This is what David says to Saul. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. His faith grew by fighting that lion and that bear. God gave David a job to do, and it was through his father Jesse, to keep those few sheep there in the wilderness. David was faithful to keep those few sheep, and his faith grew because he knew God was there with him. He spent time with God. He prayed to God. He sang to God, and he had fellowship with God out there in the middle of that wilderness with those few sheep. And one time, a bear and a lion came. They came, and they tried to take a lamb out of the flock. David trusted God. David looked to God, and David was able to smite both that bear and that lion. You don't think his faith grew that now that he sees this giant come into the land who's defying the armies of Israel, that God would give him faith to take out that giant? Look, he took out a lion and a bear. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine just even coming into the same room as a lion or a grizzly bear. There's no way. You take me to the zoo and somebody says that the lion got loose, I'm taking my wife and family and we're looking for the closest exit. I'm not going to keep walking around the zoo and looking at the other animals and say, well, if I run across the lion, I run across. No, I'm getting out of the zoo. I don't want to be around the lion. David not only was in the same area as the lion, he fought the lion for what? That little lamb. You know how your faith grows? By being faithful in the daily little things that God gives you to do. That was a lamb. You have plenty of sheep. You can have they can have more lambs. We find I'm not going to risk my life or the life of the other sheep for just one lamb that a lion or a bear has taken. But no, David was faithful, and his faith grew because he knew the little thing of a lamb was important to God, and he saved that lamb. See, we look for these grandiose things, these great things that God would try to. It's the little things that God wants us to be faithful to, and when we're faithful in the little things, our faith will begin to grow stronger and stronger and stronger, to where someday we can face that Goliath that may be in our life. Because we know and we can look back at what God's done in our past, we're able to face the future giants that may come across our path. So David's faith grew and he's able to take out Goliath. The brethren in Thessalonica had faith and believed what was preached unto them. They had faith that this was from God and not from man. Take your Bible, look back at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Their work of faith. Their work of faith. Well, why was their work of faith so great and grow exceedingly? Because they knew that the words that they were hearing from Paul and what they were getting from Paul was not just from man, but it was from God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. The Bible says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is truth, the word of God which worketh effectual. Which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Verse 14, for ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like many things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter number 16. Work of faith. Romans chapter number 16 and verse number 25. Romans 16, verse number 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Faith requires obedience. Okay, faith requires obedience. You look at Noah. God said to build an ark. He needed to be obedient. Okay, he had to have faith and know and trust that what God was saying, that God knew what he was doing and he had to be obedient to it. Build this ark. Why build this ark? Because I'm going to send rain. Well, what's rain? Right? His faith was he had to place his faith in God, that God knew what he was talking about. Now take your Bible and look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith with worketh by love." Now, brother, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take this jacket. Look, this thing with faith, the Bible says here, faith works by love. That's not how the law works. The law works by you doing what the law says. Now, we look here at those in Galatia and we say, well, why are they struggling so much with what Paul's trying to tell them? Well, think about this. For all those years, hundreds of years, they were underneath the law of God. God says, this is what you're to do as the children of Israel, as my people. You do these things and you live. And now you have this new thing coming onto the scene by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically Paul's saying, when you put your faith and trust in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, what he did on that cross, he became sin for you. He took your sin upon himself, that you now can be made the righteousness of God in him because of what he's done for us. So basically now what he's telling the Jews is, look, it's not about you doing anything no more. It's about you having faith and trust in what God's done for you. Look, it's a lot easier to do than to have faith. It's a lot easier for me to give you a checklist this evening for you to do and accomplish. And you go home and you accomplish it and you say, well, I did. Pastor said to do this. Pastor said to do that. Pastor said, don't do this and don't do that. And I've done all these things. I've filled in the checkbox. So now I'm good with God. That's not faith. But there's a lot of churches out there today in independent Baptist realms where they have a checklist. And if you do the checklist, everything's good. And if you don't do the checklist, then everything's not good. That's not faith. You say, well, what am I supposed to do and not do? You need to walk with God. I can't be with you every moment of your day, every moment of your life saying, do this, don't do that. That's not my job as a pastor. Now, that's the Holy Spirit's job. And if you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, he ought to be dealing with you in your life. And he ought to be revealing things to you that he desires for you to step out in faith and do. I'll give you one example. My personality is not to be a pastor, and I'll tell you what, I'll explain what I mean by that. I am not an outgoing person. That's not my personality. Growing up in high school and all, I was kind of shy. I had no problem with just staying all by myself, and I didn't need to be around people. It's not my personality to be outgoing and talking and around everybody. If you would have told me 10, 15 years ago that I'd preach in a prison, I would say, you're crazy. There's no way I would preach in a prison in front of a bunch of inmates. But I trusted Christ as my Savior, and God brought me along, and God helped me come out of myself because of what he desires to work in my life. So you say, well, how does that relate to faith? Well, the Bible says that we're to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you one of the hardest things it was for me to do for years, and that's to hand somebody a tract. Why? Because I had to get out of myself to go up and talk to somebody and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ if the door opened up, to give them a gospel tract or to witness to them. That wasn't my personality. So that was one thing I struggle with. Now, I know other brethren, they have absolutely no problem with it. They'll go and talk to the wall about the Lord Jesus Christ. They have no problem with getting out and talking with people. That's their personality. My personality is up. We're all different, brethren. And when we look at others and think they should be like us, that's when we run into trouble. Okay? I can't look at you and say, you need to be like me and I need to be. No, we're different. And God brings us along because we are different. So trust God. Maybe this year, ask God to help you take that step of faith, to step out and give somebody a track as God leads and directs you. Now, I'm going to say another thing real quick, too. And I know this is some independent Baptist churches, it's heretical. But I know God's done this in my life, and I've seen God work it in my life. Sometimes God would not have you witness to somebody at that moment. It's not always. I knew brethren, there's some brethren I know, good brethren, they think that everywhere you go, everybody you talk to, you're supposed to give them the gospel. That's not the case. There's many times Jesus went and hid himself. And there's many times Jesus said, did something for somebody. He said, hey, keep your mouth shut. Don't tell nobody what was just done for you. I'll give you a prime example of that. In one job I had about 20 years ago, I was working for a vending company and I had this good relationship with my boss. But the Lord never gave me an open door to talk to him. And there was times almost like I felt like, Lord, I need to tell this man, because we had a pretty good relationship with one another. And I never had an opportunity. I said, Lord, I kept praying. I said, God, why can't I get out? Why don't I ever have an open door to talk with my boss? Because I love him. He's a good man to me. Well, wouldn't you know, about 4 or 5 years into it, one morning we were in there in the break room, and the Lord just gave, a wide open door. We must have talked for about an hour about the Lord Jesus Christ. God gave the open door. Have patience and have a walk with God. See, sometimes we think that if we do, that then that justifies us. Surely I got to be saved. Surely I got to walk with God because look at all these things that I'm doing. And that could be the farthest thing from the truth, because you're hiding behind what you do and not God working in your life. I desire for you to have a walk with God. When God says to keep the mouth shut, you keep your mouth shut. When God says open your mouth, you open your mouth. But that is all by faith, trusting him that he knows what's best in your life at the right moments in your life. A walk with God, being led by the Spirit of God, not by some checklist. That takes faith. It takes being misunderstood. See, we don't like being misunderstood. We want to justify ourselves, myself included, when I'm misunderstood. No, it wasn't like that. It's like this. But look all through the Bible of how God put certain people in situations to where they could be misunderstood. Look how Jesus was born. You could look at him and he was born as a bastard. He was born illegitimate. His mama went out on Joseph, her spouse, husband. She went out and cheated on him. She got pregnant, or they got together before they were married and he got her pregnant. That's the farthest thing from the truth. Misunderstanding. Look at Mary. Each time Mary worked, one time she's sitting there and she's doing nothing, and Mary comes in, or Martha comes in and says, why aren't you helping out? She's misunderstood. But she's doing exactly what Jesus wanted her to do, and that's sitting at his feet. Next time she's doing something, she's pouring out that oil over his feet and crying. And look what she's doing. She's misunderstood again, but she's doing exactly what God wants her to do. See, God will put us in situations to where we're misunderstood. How do we handle it? Do we have faith and trust in God that he'll plead our cause? Or are we so quick to plead our own cause and destroy what God's trying to do? That takes faith. It takes a walk with God knowing, I know I'm doing what God wants me to do no matter what the world or anybody says. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be with God. And everybody can misunderstand, but I know I'm walking with God. Think about Noah. You don't think he was misunderstood and thought of as crazy? Look at Abraham. Oh, you're going to have a child. Telling his friends, yeah, God said he's promised me a child. And when he's 85 years old, his friends come up and say, I thought you said God promised you a child. Now you're 85 and Sarah's up in years too. Where's this child that God promised? Is he going to justify himself, or is he going to say, I continue to trust God, even though he could be misunderstood? It takes faith. It takes faith in a God that knows best for your life. But so often we want to work it out ourselves so that we look okay. God might want to put you in a situation where you don't look okay for the benefit of others later on. But that's a work of faith. That is a work of faith. He says here in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? He said in verse number 6 that faith which worketh by love. Take your Bible and look over at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter number 4. Faith, how does faith work? It works by love. Look at Romans chapter number 4 and verse number 13. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 13. Romans 4 verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is a father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom we believed, before whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And look at verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. God promised Abraham Isaac. God promised that through Isaac, all nations of the world would be blessed, and that would eventually come through Jesus Christ. Bible says here in verse 19 that Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now, I find, and we ain't going to look at it this evening, but I kind of chuckle a little bit at this verse right here. Him being not weak in faith, and also in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise. Oh, I love my Savior. I love my God that he looks at Abraham for the best that is in Abraham and not in Abraham's weakness and his failures. Did not Abraham, was he not weak in faith? Did he not stagger at the promises of God when he went into Hagar? Did he not stagger, and was not he weak in faith when he went down to Egypt and he lied those two times saying that Sarah was his sister? Yet God says in the book of Romans here, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. And in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but look what he says, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know why? Because Abraham didn't quit. Abraham was faithful. He acknowledged his mistakes. He acknowledges his failures with God, and he continued to walk with God. And he got to a point with his walk with God and his faith to where he's 100 years old, and God comes back to him and says, and Abraham says, I believe you. And God says, okay, you're going to have a child. And he had a child at 100 years old. But it didn't come overnight. It takes time. But you know what the devil's counting on in that time period there is God's trying to grow your faith. He's trying to get you to quit and say, what's the use? I failed this time. I messed up this time. I did wrong this time. I didn't do what I should have done this time. I'll give you an example. When I flew up here, yesterday, there was a young man I felt later on that I should have talked to about the Lord, and I didn't. You see, look, and I got back to the hotel room. I said, God, I'm sorry. I probably should have said something to that young man. Maybe you impressed me to say something. I didn't say something. God, help me next time to do so. Pick up, get up, go on to the next day. Do you understand, brethren? You see what the devil wants to come in, because we're not perfect, brethren, yet. We have not been made perfect in a complete sense. We still have this flesh that we got to deal with. And continually, every day, it's the flesh and spirit in the battle, and putting the old man on the cross every day and letting a new man live in our life. That's a process that God's going through, so someday we can lay up treasures in heaven to give to him, but it's a process. We have not been made completely perfect in him yet. We're still waiting the redemption of the body, right? So there's this battle every day, and we're not always going to hit it. We're going to fall sometimes. We're going to have failures sometimes. We're not always going to do what God wants us to do. And the devil knows that, and he's looking for opportunities to, when you don't, to jump on you and start pounding you and saying, what's the use of you? You're a failure. You're no good. Just give up. Quit. God doesn't want nothing to do with you. You see, you had an opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord, and you messed it up, and now they're probably going to go to hell. That's how the devil works. Pounds and pounds and pounds. No. You got to get back up, say, Lord, sorry. Help me to be faithful in the next opportunity you maybe give me, and let me just continue to fight this good fight. Yeah, I missed that opportunity, Lord. I pray you give me another opportunity tomorrow. Do you see what I'm talking about? Abraham messed up. Abraham didn't always do what God wanted him to do. Abraham sometimes did what Abraham thought was the right thing to do. The same with David, the same with Joseph, the same with every other man and woman that's ever walked on this earth. A work of faith. Let God work in your life when it comes to faith. Don't quit. Don't give up. always abound and strive to live for God. We'll close with this here. Faith with works by love. So continuing on in Romans chapter 4, verse number 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. How can our faith grow? How does faith work? By love. How can we grow in faith? Verse number 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Look, I'm going to close with this thought right here. And we looked at it earlier in 1 Thessalonians, talking about the knowledge of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Ask the Lord to show you daily more and more the great love he has towards you, and what was shown in his love by what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross. When we spend time meditating on and thinking on what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross, what great love God has bestowed upon us by what his son did for us on that cross of Calvary. That love, or what Jesus did for us, ought to produce in us a love back to him to want to now do for him because of what he's done for us. That love produces a greater faith, because you know God loves you and he has a purpose for you in your life. But when you start looking inward at you and what you can and cannot do, or your personality, you're going to fall short. But if you look to Christ and what he can do through you, your faith will grow and your trust in God will grow. And you'll be able to accomplish some great things for the Lord here on this planet. Look, to have patience in tribulations and persecutions. I've said it before, you're going to have people scratching their head, because they're going to be like, I don't understand you. I don't get you. All these things have happened in your life, yet you still have joy. You seem to have a peace. There seems to be a happiness about you. Why? And you're going to cause them to ask questions. And you say, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, and my faith and trust and hope is in him and nothing else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the thing that we were able to look at this evening. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it made sense, dear God. Lord, there's a lot there concerning faith and love, and Lord, you working in our life. And Lord, I pray for this new year that we're getting ready to face, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have a faith, Lord, that you would work in our lives to where our faith would grow exceedingly, dear God, that we would have more faith this year than we've had in any previous years of our life. A faith and trust in you, dear God, that we would get out of ourselves, Lord, that we'd put that old man on the cross, dear God, and crucify the affections and lust thereof, dear God, and put on a new man, Lord, and walk in the newness of life that you've given us. And Lord, that we would just trust you and draw closer to you in these last days, dear God, and just be a light and example to this lost and dying world. Lord, that they would see a difference in us, dear God. And that difference comes by putting our faith in you and walking with you. Lord, help these precious brethren, Lord. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Help us just to glorify you and just stay faithful. And we ask this all now in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen, brother. We're going to, if y'all would stand, we're going to close in one final hymn. Brother Ralph, you come up and lead us in it.
517. It was right along with it. 517, I am resolved. 517. Service Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Have a great night.